Welcome, Cleaning Nation. I am so excited to hang out with you all today. If you are one of the ones that want to take it to the next level and hang out with me and a few of your fellow owners close up and personal, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live right now to get the details on our upcoming live event where I'm going to implement the entire Clean Profit Method with you. We are chatting with Ahmed Salem from Violet Enterprises. They've been serving the Washington, D.C. area with residential and commercial cleaning services since 2002. If you want to reach out to Ahmed, we'll give you a way to do that at the end. And Ahmed, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike, for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to have you on, man. How did you, what made you get into the business, you know, what are we, 16 years ago? And how on God's green earth did you choose the name Violet Cleaning Company?
Yeah, that's a really nice question. I think we are entrepreneur. I came from a family, all my dad, my mother, we are like kind of being our own bosses like generations ago. And I'm originally from Egypt. I came here in 1995. So I went ahead and worked a little bit, went ahead and had a job for a little while, and I found that the best way to go is to just to have your own business. So after being employed as a teacher for a while, and I'm still doing it actually on the side, I started to just kind of zoom in and have my own business. I did it for almost 6 years just as a one source of income. Then I started to have this job on the side, but still having my business, never gave up on it, and keep being creative in how to market myself, how to reach out to people in a unique way, how to differentiate our service from whoever's out there.
So how'd you come up with the name Violet?
Yeah, that's the second part of the question. Actually, I was inspired by this because of my daughter. She's very artistic and unique and athlete. And I was just keep at the beginning, I was like for almost 6 years, I was running as professional cleaning service, which is a very dull name. So I decided to be creative a little bit. So I thought about the rose or the flower, the violet flower. It's a very like a woman thing. And the decision for cleaning oils comes from the feminine side, not the masculine side. So I said that can be a very attractive name, Violet. So Violet is the flower, and also it's the color. It's a beautiful color, and mostly like it's a woman like attracted normally to it more than anything. And cleaning normally, the decision for cleaning comes most of the time. The beautifying of the places, it comes from the soft side of the family, which is female. So that's how it started.
All right, awesome. Thanks for sharing your story. How can what's going on in your world today that I can give you some help with?
I would like to hear your insights on at some point in one of your episodes in the past. I heard you saying you have to interview your client and hear from him or her what keep them awake at night, what's their pain, and I see this as a very nice approach, but a lot of time we know that the pain that most of the commercial residential customers have is to improve the image, but how can I make this stand out more, or how can I, it's more of like really how can I make this more meaningful, stand out. We know right off the bat that the problem is an image problem or hygiene problem or no, I'm sorry, not hygiene, is image or like a cleaning issue, environmental issue inside the place or the facility that we're doing. But other than that, is there any way to make it more meaningful, more motivating to us or to the client, to put it in a context or to reiterate what the customer is saying in a way that make it stand out more? I'm just doing my best here to explain myself.
Nope, I think I understand. I think I understand. So not only do I understand, I've got a lot of feedback that I think will help you and Cleaning Nation. So first and foremost, I want to emphasize what an important point this is. If you do not have pain, you will never, ever, ever, ever have a sale. Your ability to sell is 100% directly tied to your ability to find, understand, and most importantly, communicate back to them their pain. So a lot of people think, my customer doesn't have any pain. Well, then you won't have any customers. I assure you, I don't know of anyone that just runs around saying, I hate money, I've got to get rid of it, will you please take it from me? They're trying to solve sort of pain. Right. No one's allergic to money. So they're not just trying to get rid of it and you're going to be there to help them. They have a pain that they hope that you can solve for them. And the corollary to that is it could be pleasure, right? That could be something that they're trying to accomplish. Like if they want to go on a cruise, that could be more upside than solving a pain. But their pain would be, I have a hole in my life where I'd like to spend time with family, or I'd like to get away, or I'd like to feel... I never leave the house. So it can still be related to pain, but you're either going to help them achieve gain or solve pain. I focus on the pain because it's easier to solve pain than it is to help with gain, right? The guy trying to sell the cruise is not going to have as easy of a time as the doctor who's got someone with his arm hanging on by a ligament, right? There's no, that point, the price doesn't come up. The guy just wants him to solve his pain. Whereas with the cruise, when you're trying to go for gain, obviously it's a different situation. So just to be clear, you either have to help them get some sort of perceived gain or help them alleviate some sort of real or perceived pain. When possible, always alleviate pain. You will get paid better and it's easier. But if you're not able to do one of those two things, you will not have a customer. So don't be one of those people that feels or thinks, my customer doesn't have any real pain. He just hates money and wants to waste a bunch of time talking to a bunch of cleaners. For no reason. That's just not the truth. Okay. That's the first part. Yeah. Second thing is, you said, I know it's this, or this. It's really important that you let them tell you. When you say something as a salesperson, they just assume you're lying or trying to help yourself, or, obviously everyone's got their own interests. So every salesperson they've dealt with has been about what's better for the salesperson. So that's what they trust. But when they say something, now it's the truth, right? Anytime someone thinks or says something, they never think that they're liars. They only think other people are liars. So we really want them to say their pain. It's very important for them to get to communicate their pain to you. So if I was looking to work with you as a coaching client, before I'd even consider it, I'd say, what's going on with your business? Tell me about what you're trying to do. Where are you at now? What are you doing? And even if you had massive amounts of pain and you really wanted to grow, but you told me, well, it's fine. I'm okay. I'd like to grow a little, but I don't care. I'm not going to help you because I can't help you, right? If you're not going to share your pain with me, right? That's like going to the doctor and saying, hey, help me. And he goes, great. What's wrong? What's the symptoms? You're like, meh, I feel fine. The doctor's going to go, well, why are you here? If you feel fine, what is it we're going to talk about? So same thing with your customer. If you go, great, perfect question to start. Why did you invite me out today? I'm assuming this is, so if they call in, hey, what made you call me today? And if they invited you out on a bid, what made you invite me out today? That's going to be your first insight into their pain. And then you just got to ask some digging questions in terms of, how long have you been dealing with this? Can you give me an example? Like, well, our carpets are dirty. Okay. Tell me about that, and then, it had this impact on my life. How did that make you feel? What was that like? We want to move from logic to emotion. Again, back with the cruise, there's not a lot of, I have 2 weeks of vacation every year. I have to take a vacation somewhere. And the most logical choice is a cruise, right? That's never going to sell anybody anything. You want to talk with them and help them feel the open breeze, the wind on their face, the relationships that they could strengthen in their lives if they took important people, the relationships they might find if they're single and looking for love, right? These are all much more important things than our boat is, 6 million tons and goes at 4 knots. And the captain has been doing this for 20 years. And these are all facts that are somewhat relevant, but not going to help. So you really, really want to focus on the pain. And you really want them to say it, right? So if I tell you, oh my gosh, Ahmed, this cruise is going to be the best. You're going to have so much fun. If you're single, there's all sorts of beautiful women. If you're married with children, like it sounds like you've got a little girl, your daughter's going to love it. That's all fine. But when I go, hey, Ahmed, tell me about why you want to go on this cruise. And you start saying, well, gosh, I haven't really got to spend as much time with my daughter as I'd like. And I go, oh, my gosh, how does that make you feel as a dad? And you go, oh, Mike, you don't even understand. Like when she was young, she'd always hug me when I came home and she was so excited. Now she's getting too big. And I go, oh, wow, as a dad, that's got to make you feel, you know, how long has this been? And now you see how we're in a real conversation is not anything. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, you got to have pain. You want them to share their pain, right? It doesn't help if you just say, I know your pain, it's this, that, and the other. You want them to share it, okay? And once
So I heard you saying, Mike, that I should give a chance to listen even if it's, I shouldn't predict the conversation, basically. Yes, we called you today to schedule a carpet cleaning. So I should say something. Tell me more about that, or...
Yeah, why did you invite me out today?
Okay.
And what might be a boring, non-pain answer they'd give you?
We just need to take care of this carpet. We're trying to clean this carpet because we're going to rent that place. We're moving out. We need to get our deposit back. That's very common also.
Okay. So if you don't get this handled, it sounds like you won't get your deposit back. What else?
Just we'll lose our deposit and maybe we're going to have a bad review or bad feedback from the landlord when we move to a different place. That's also can be common as well.
Oh, okay. So if this doesn't get taken care of, not only will you likely lose your deposit, but it might inhibit your ability to get your new place. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
So again, I have dirty carpet and I want it cleaned. That's a cheap problem to solve. I need to get my $1,500 deposit back. That's a little more expensive problem to solve. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I may not be able to move into my new place that I'm really excited about. That's a huge problem they want to solve. So do you see how you keep taking it, or not you, they keep taking it up a level in terms of the stakes that we have here. If the stakes are low, there's not much you can do. If the stakes are high, you can really solve that, right? Like, you know, when I help people with the coaching, if I'm like, hey, what's going to happen if you don't grow your business? And they're like, nothing, I'll be fine. I'm like, well, then I don't want to waste my time with you. Go, you know, I'll help some of the
relief. I don't have a place.
Right. If they say,
I don't have a job to do.
Yeah. If they say, oh my gosh, you have no idea. My family won't eat. I'll be kicked out on the street. I'll be embarrassed. I put all my time and money. I told everyone I was going to succeed and I'll feel like a loser. You know, these are real things that I love helping people with. But if there's no pain, I can't help them. So same with you. Those are all great pains that they're giving, right? That they're giving you. And it's far better if you give it to them than, I'm sorry, that's the exact opposite. It's far better if they give you their pain than if you tell them their pain. So ideally, they tell you and you just listen and understand. Once they think that you once they know that you understand them, you want to understand them and they know that you're not just there to sell them something, but you're really trying to help them, then they'll trust you and let you do their business and give you the opportunity to help them. But they have to know that you understand them. So many times people just are waiting for an opportunity for the other person to stop talking so they can say their thing and they're not really listening. If you really listen and understand their pain and they know that you understand their pain, that's huge. That's, I promise, that's gonna be very different than any of the other salespeople they've talked with. That said,
I
noticed you said that you're doing carpet cleaning, correct?
We do a lot of, we started as like a combination, but we zoomed in the carpet more than anything. And the flooring, your carpet and flooring, marble and like tile and carpet, all kind and furniture. So basically, we are not like a maid service anymore, although we had at the beginning a lot of that.
Okay, so my encouragement would be, because it's really hard to get pain, and just the time and logistics, it's very hard to grow a business where we're not doing recurring work, right? Where I know with carpets and floors, you might go out, you know, ideally 2 or 3 times a year, right? But I would much rather have you seek out clients where you can help, you know, 200, 300 times a year, right? Where you're cleaning there, like in the commercial space every year, every day. And then in the residential space, and I wouldn't recommend you do both, but all this pain, it's a lot harder to get when it's just a one-time transaction, right? Like if I'm just selling you a watch, that's it. There's, you know, I can maybe get your pain and then you're gone. But if I'm, you know, a clothing outlet and I'm helping you dress for success and get the job that you want or attract a mate, you know, we have this ongoing relationship, I can be of much more value to you. So I always encourage people to pursue relationships where they can give the most amount of value, because the more value you give, the more money that you make. And honestly, mm-hmm. the better your life is, right? Like if this podcast was it and I never helped anybody in a more in-depth fashion, it would be lonely, right? I just get to talk to people and that's it. But the mm-hmm. podcast leads to where I can really help people at a deeper level. And that's what I love. So I would highly encourage you to really focus on ongoing relationships where you can help them on a daily or weekly basis. It's so much easier to get paying at that, right? Because you really are solving a deeper problem when you're going to be in their home or their business, you know, every day, every week. You're solving a much bigger problem than my carpets are dirty. So I can still help you get paying with just dirty carpets, but I'd rather just have you seek out customers that have more pain, right? The goal is not to mm-hmm. find people that have no pain and try and convince them they're in pain. That's a lot of work. The goal is to find people that are already in massive amounts of pain and really need your help and help them. Not only is that not work, it's a lot of fun. So let me just recap and then we'll hit the lightning round. First, if there's no pain, there's no sale, period, ever. And if there's very little pain, the sale is going to be based on price, which means there's no margin. Number two, mm-hmm. don't assume that you know. Ask and let them tell you. It's so much better if they tell you than if you tell them. Three, find and choose a market that has lots of pain, which is typically an ongoing service as opposed to a one-time service. And then the last point, kind of as a little bonus, you can use this in your marketing as well, right? So if you're doing sales, it's easy. You listen to their pain and you repeat it back to them. So Ahmed, it sounds like not, and I think I did this for you. If you don't get this carpet clean, not only could you lose your security deposit, but you might not be able to move into your new place. And have you ever not gotten a security deposit back? No. Well, how come? Well, because I always leave the place clean. I would never, you know, leave the place dirty after I told the guy I was going to clean it. How would that make you feel if you left this place filthy and he, you know, thought that you were some kind of loser? Oh, I'd feel terrible. So that's kind of mm-hmm. how you repeat it back to them. And then the way that you automate this is you do it with marketing, right? So once you do have pain, if possible, you always talk face-to-face. But if you can't talk face-to-face, all of your marketing should just be addressing pain, right? So you might have questions mm-hmm. like, are you the kind of person that always leaves things better than you found it? You should call us. Do you want to make sure that you have maybe their pain is headache? I don't want to deal with this. I'm moving and I got 400 things to deal with and I don't want to deal with this. That would be a headline. Are you moving? And instead of 400 things, would you like 399? Let us take this off your plate for you. So once mm-hmm. you understand their pain, you can use it not only face to face, but also in marketing messages. The big thing is you have to communicate to them that you understand their pain, ideally better than anybody else, or even better, you're able to communicate their pain back to them better than they've even communicated it to themselves, right?
That's exactly the point that I'm trying to hit on, Mike. You got it there. That's exactly what I communicated back to them better than them communicated back to themselves or to me. Like just kind of a positive listening technique that I have to show that I'm doing or practicing with them. Did I hear you right?
You heard me exactly right. Just being a good listener is 93.5% of sales. So you summed it up perfectly.
It's like a kind of a therapy, basically. Kind of a therapeutic conversation, basically.
Yes.
That takes place.
You are exactly right.
When you hear someone saying something and you reiterate that or say it in your own words, I cannot see, there's no enough words to describe how happy this person can be.
Yeah, and then it's a lot more fun, right? Like, you can give a little bit of a gift of cleaning someone's carpet, but having someone feel like they're heard and valued and another human being is connected with them and cares about them, that's a really mm-hmm. important gift to give. And I don't know about you, but I feel better about giving that gift than I do about the providing the end service. So you can actually give a tremendous amount of value in the sales process. Before you've even taken their money, you can give them a bunch of value. And then you do that, you give them a bunch of value before they've even become a customer. It makes it very easy and very compelling for them to become a customer. Okay. I don't want to go on forever.
No, Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. That really, if you don't mind, there's like a very short follow-up question. If you allow me to ask you, will that be okay?
Yep, go ahead. Let's hit it.
Is this the same strategy for even the repeat business? Because when we get a lot of repeat, I know it happens once or twice a year, but a lot of repeat business, people come back again in after a year or 6 months or even sometimes 2 years. Would that be the same thing? Or
1,000%. Yes. No. Always always get pain, always retouch, because it may be different, right? When they first did it, their pain might be, I don't know you, there's a stranger in my house, this, I'm uncomfortable. And now that they've had you, they're maybe they're more comfortable with that. And they're like, we just got a new dog and the dog's sick because you know, there's something in the carpets and that's no good. So their pain may change and they may have, mm-hmm. and also you've probably forgotten their pain, right? If it's been 6 months, goodness, you don't know.
Yeah,
you,
good.
So that's, you do it every time. The real question is, I want to take better care of my repeat customers or not as good of care? And I'm guessing you're going to say, I want to take better care. I want my repeat customers to feel very loved. Well, they feel loved by getting pain and listening to them. So you're going to listen to them as much or more than you would a new customer, even though you don't have to, right? You don't have to do all that to make a sale. They already know, like, and trust you, but you still want to take care of them. So the answer is absolutely, we get pain every time, including if not double down on repeat customers. All right, cool. Let's hit the lightning round, because I've been talking a lot and I want to make sure, you've been doing this more than a decade and a half, and I want to share some of your experience with Cleaning Nation. Hey, Cleaning Nation, as we head into the lightning round, I want to take a quick second to personally invite you to get the details on our upcoming live event. It's at growmycleaningcompany.com/live. I've had so much fun actually getting to hang out with you, getting to know you, and supercharging your businesses by implementing the Clean Profit Method together. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live right now to book a quick chat with me to see if you are a fit for this event. On to the lightning round.
Thank you.
Yeah, three quick questions, three quick answers since we're running long. Yeah. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received personally or professionally?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat the same thing over and over, but it's never hurt to repeat it. If you try to be everything to everyone, you're not going to be anything to anyone. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. A lot of people who run cleaning business, they kind of fall in this trap. And you try to do everything for everybody. That's a big no-no. It's always good to say no than saying yes with a reason after, or explaining yourself why you said no after that.
Sure. I couldn't agree more. I think that bears repeating. All right, question number two. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so we can all learn from one another?
Not planning ahead of acting. You take a lot of time to plan for whatever you want to do, and study the next step, buying, for example, a truck mount. That's a big investment. Study the options. Learn how you're going to market yourself moving forward, that you have a bigger and better equipment. Ask a lot of questions. Ask a lot of people. Even seek coaching service if available out there. Planning and seek help from people who've been in the same route before moving forward with that. Don't just move bluntly in the direction that you think is right. Don't follow just your gut feeling without any planning. That's a big mistake that I've done, and I'm trying to kind of stop doing that, because eventually it will turn to a habit. So sure. I advise everybody, all the Cleaning Nation audience, to be aware of that and don't fall in this trap. Don't act without planning and seeking maybe coaching service, or don't just act out of just kind of urgency that you need to go this way, and you end up regretting what you did.
Okay, perfect. Gosh, that goes for marriage and for cleaning, right?
Yeah.
All right, last question. What's one simple, easy idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away that will improve their lives or their business, even if just a little tiny bit?
If you can give or provide some kind of worksheets for your audience to with open-ended question, so they can kind of overcome the hurdle or the mental. It's a lot of mental hurdle that business owners, startup business owners face. So, like a variety of worksheets, some of this can be like for free to practice reflecting and kind of pinpoint that one thing. There's a wonderful training by the name of The One Thing by Gary Keller, the founder of Keller and William Real Estate. So this one thing, how can you pinpoint that one thing? So if you can tweak this to meet the idea of Cleaning Nation audience, cleaning company owners' mindset. How can you pinpoint that one thing? Why you are in business for? And a lot of questions along the same meaning, so they can reflect and write and become better performers as owners or as operators of cleaning companies.
Okay, perfect. Ahmed, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your experience and your story, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Ahmed's show notes page and get basically everything we have to offer in terms of tools and methods and strategies and systems to grow your business, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.